However, the energy from the shard, rather, went into his body, where it seeped into his cells, which greedily gobbled it up in an instant. Zack didn't feel any difference in his body, but he guessed that it would slowly improve his constitution. The amount that he got was far lower compared to before, and he was not even receiving a tenth of the purified energies he'd gotten from the splinter before he entered the tower. That was fine with Zack, though, as the gifts from the remnants always came with deadly downsides. Focusing on just himself for the time being felt a lot more pertinent. It seemed like he had touched upon some of the massive secrets of the multiverse, and he was slowly forming a few theories based on what Jowl had told him about the system and what the four-eyed alien had said. But all those things were too grand, too complicated, and not something he wanted to get involved with. He could mess with the broken peaks of the boundless path when he had reached A grade and was bored with life. Until then, the chaos patterns and the skies full of lightning could stay as far away as possible, as far as he was concerned. He wasn't even in a mood to start experimenting with the flashes again before he had got his soul-strengthening manual up and running. Actually, it seemed that his mind was agreeing with his reluctance to get involved, as his memory of the chaos pattern he had just witnessed was growing foggier by the minute. He couldn't remember any details any longer, and he wouldn't be surprised if it would completely disappear from his memory in a day or two. It was a pain to dismember the extremely sturdy dragon, and Zack was quickly running out of time. So he finally ran into the carcass and chopped its insides into massive slabs of meat and threw them into his cosmos sack. Finally, he threw the mangled remains into the sack as well and called it a day. There was one more thing Zack wanted to do before he left the floor, though, and he took out an inscribed box containing an unknown fruit. It was one of the natural treasures he had found during the climb. He still had no idea what it did, but he figured that his body knew what it was doing as it urged him to eat it. He was somewhat certain that the items he had pilfered during the Battle of Fates would stay, but the same couldn't be said about these things. He wanted to follow Galau's advice and eat them rather than have them return into the system's hands the moment he left. It was only 30 minutes later that he snapped out of his state of vivid hallucinations and bouts of extreme gastrointestinal distress. His whole body was covered in a film of extremely foul-smelling oil, and he felt weak, like he had been afflicted with food poisoning. The natural treasure hadn't actually been toxic, but it rather looked like the treasure was the kind that helped expel impurities like pill toxicity. The problem was the way of expulsion. Some things needed to be processed into pills before being eaten, and that scary fruit was probably one of them. He had less than 30 minutes remaining, but he still spent 10 of those vigorously scrubbing off the foul gunk. The smell was making him nauseated, which was saying something, considering he could be covered in blood without noticing it nowadays. Zack reluctantly discarded any idea of eating more of the treasures as he stepped into the teleporter with a tired sigh.
8th floor complete. Upgrading title. Choose reward. 2 extremities physique array. Divine Investiture Array. Yin-Yang Arat Soul Array.
Zack found himself in the familiar black dimension, and he almost felt some wistfulness that this was the last time he would come to this place. Of course, the wistfulness wasn't brought on by nostalgia, but rather that this was the last of the rewards. He first opened his title screen to sate his curiosity.
Tower of Eternity, 8th floor. Reach the 73rd level of the Tower of Eternity. Reward, all stats plus 10, all stats plus 10%, effective attributes plus 10%.
The upgraded title was just as he had expected after seeing the change on the 7th floor, and he was suddenly extremely curious about what would change upon finishing the whole tower. Was there a secret title waiting at the top after all? However, his attention was soon diverted from the tower title when he noticed that there was a new addition to his ever-growing list of achievements. And it was an odd one.
Terminus. Gaze upon the terminus.
There was only a short description and no reward. The first empty title Zack had encountered thus far. Zack guessed the terminus either referred to the lightning sea or the pattern that he could no longer remember, but he didn't understand why the system would add a title if it wouldn't dole out any attributes. Perhaps someone in the base town would know, but he felt that keeping this experience to himself was for the best. Stuff like the Tao of Chaos involved the system itself and the peak individuals of the multiverse, and just talking about it might bring a calamity upon his head. He could only close the title screen with mixed emotions and instead turn his attention to the three arrays up for grabs. However, the rewards honestly had him a bit stumped. He understood the words as he read them one by one, but he had some trouble understanding what they meant. Zack was surprised that the rewards didn't feel as tailored to his situation compared to the previous floor. Truthfully, they even seemed worse compared to the ones he had been awarded after succeeding in the Battle of Fates, as each of them had represented a clear and almost immediate boost to himself or his force. Was there an element of luck where you could either get a good set of reward choices or a subpar one? Or were the arrays perhaps even better than the seventh floor awards, but Zack was too ignorant to tell? He looked back and forth between the three options, and he felt some helplessness at the fact that he didn't know what any of the three arrays did. The first array, the two extremities physique array, might be some sort of training array to form a unique constitution. It might even be an extremely suited constitution based on the name. Two extremities could refer to life and death, or perhaps even creation and oblivion. Remolding his body to be able to withstand the two remnants seemed pretty amazing. That might just be wishful thinking, though. That would mean that the award was an upgraded version of the Body Tempering Manual, an array that would directly awaken a life and death constitution. However, there was another possibility, based on the wording of the first and third rewards. One was called a physique array, and the other a soul array. That kind of wording was a bit reminiscent of war arrays, and it made him remember something. The fire golem down in the underworld. Parts of its body had been engraved with crude fractals, and he had learned this was a common way for constructs to improve their power. Was the same thing possible for humans? Was it perhaps an array that would be engraved to his body, somehow boosting it beyond its normal capabilities? He guessed something like that would work like a synthetic constitution or something, where it provided similar boosts. Whichever way the array worked, the end result was most likely the same. It would probably directly increase his combat power by improving his body, almost like having a private war array. It would give a direct and convenient boost to his strength, and it was definitely a viable choice. As for the Divine Investiture array, he had no idea. Judging by the name, it might be something that could improve a person or an item. Divine Investiture, maybe it meant that it could bestow Heaven's blessing. Perhaps it was something like the array that he had passed when he climbed the eighth floor, but a greater version? Or was it related to fate? Getting the system's blessing didn't sound too bad right about now, and it sort of felt like the system owed him one after the last two levels. Then there was the final reward, one related to the soul. He would have preferred one that mentioned caging rambunctious slivers, but this one rather seemed geared toward taking advantage of the odd scars covering his soul. It seemed to be based on the concept of duality, just like the Constitution Array, but he had no idea what a soul array could do. Did it improve one's control over the Taos, perhaps? It did, however, include the word Arat, which was a Buddhist term. He didn't know if that would cause any issues with his cultivation or his recently acquired manual, but he guessed that anything he got from the eighth floor would be compatible with him. An Arat was a perfected being who had reached enlightenment, so perhaps the soul array would be able to push his soul to a perfect state? Zack looked back and forth between the options, but he truthfully didn't need to look too long before he decided on the third option, the Yin-Yang Arat Soul Array. It wasn't that he felt it was perfect for his situation, as he honestly had no idea what it did, but he'd obviously take anything that helped his soul at the current juncture. The other two options were probably great as well, but they were luxuries compared to a necessity. His arm reached toward the hovering prompt in front of him, but he suddenly froze in shock as the silence of the special dimension was broken.
First choice will grant you power. Second choice brings rectification of regret. Third choice will lead you down an alternative path.
Zack didn't know how to react when he heard the emotionless voice in his head. A year had passed, and he had almost forgotten those early days of the integration. But it all rushed back to him at that moment. The system was once again directly speaking with him.
Chapter 49. Beware the Terminus.
Zack froze like a deer in headlights as he looked in all directions. Back when the integration first took place, he had been completely clueless, unaware of just how powerful a thing the system was. But now he was all too aware just how mighty it was, and the attention put him under immense psychological pressure. However, he knew this was a rare opportunity, and he needed some clarification.
"Was it you who pushed me down this path? Who put these two remnants in front of me?"
"Yes. User qualified for unique empowerment scenario. Congratulations."
Zack felt some fury flare up at hearing the same annoying, emotionless congratulations as he did when the two last spoke. But he quickly restrained himself this time, and instead focused on what was important.
"Are we done then?" Zack asked, his heart pounding. "You won't mess with me any longer? I gave you that pattern, and you provided me with protections against the fractals."
"Reciprocity has been achieved, and balance is maintained. Beware the Terminus."
"What does that even mean?"
Zack asked with some bitterness in his voice, but he was only met with silence.
"What regrets are you talking about? And what alternate path? Please elaborate."
Zack tried instead, as he didn't understand what the hell the system had been talking about earlier. Unfortunately, it looked like the system wasn't any more talkative this time around, and it had left after delivering a few cryptic lines. Zack once again looked upon the screen with the three rewards, his earlier resolve completely crushed. Could he trust the system? Or was it messing with him once again? His thoughts about the first reward didn't change, as the comment was in line with his own thoughts, but the other two threw him for a loop. What did an alternate path mean? Did it refer to his soul cultivation, or was it something much bigger? Would it tamper with his nascent creation based on life and death? Would it actually force him to embark on Buddhist cultivation, foregoing his current classes? And what the hell did rectification of regret mean? He had done things he wasn't too proud of since the integration, but he would say there was only one real regret, not reaching his father before he was murdered. It couldn't possibly be an array that could resurrect the dead, could it? Or was it rather related to his inability to cultivate? The more he thought about it, the more likely it felt. Wasn't that exactly what divine investiture meant? The ability to cultivate was based on one's affinity with the Taos, something that he was completely lacking. What if this array could rectify that deficiency in his body, allowing him to embark on the path of a true cultivator? There were a lot of secrets related to his body, secrets that might make him want to stay immortal. But he also knew that things would get extremely rough the further he walked down the path of cultivation. Things weren't too bad right now in F grade, but the situation would get much worse for each grade, as far as he knew. This might be his shot at getting the final and greatest boost to his power, becoming a proper cultivator.
Zack finally went with his gut and reached for the second option. Zack chose the Divine Investiture Array based on his guess that the system wasn't actively messing with him. Why would it even bother? It was in control of the rewards, after all. He wasn't interested in changing his path, which would potentially make the Yin-Yang Arat Soul Array useless. And between rectifying regret and strength, he chose the former. He had plenty of strength from a bunch of other sources, and a constitution array wasn't required for him to deal with the issues on Earth. He hadn't even seen anyone in his sector utilizing this kind of thing, and it didn't come up when Galau talked about constitutions. It was probably some sort of high-tiered boost not available in his sector. But people did just fine without them. Rectifying regret was more in line with his purpose of cultivation. He didn't really care about power for power's sake, and not all his troubles could get solved by becoming stronger. Perhaps the Divine Investiture Array would make him a cultivator, or perhaps its function was something else entirely. But it didn't matter. He didn't want to experience some tragedy in the future and realize it could have been prevented if he hadn't been too greedy for more power. Zack didn't immediately pick the reward, though, but he first started putting one ring after another on his fingers, before moving on to bracers, earrings, and necklaces. It was the jewelry he'd looted from the mentalist, each of them a pretty strong treasure that contained one charge either of offensive or defensive nature. He had seen a couple of similar items by now, and he could tell that all of them were E-grade items made with craftsmanship you couldn't find in the Zekia sector. It was like he was decked in treasures that each could release an attack or shield at the very limit of what you could bring into the Tower of Eternity. The most important point was that while they were heavily suppressed inside the Tower of Eternity, they'd work just fine in the base town. The items were clearly made for a woman, but he wasn't in a position to be picky at the moment. The whole square could be full of people wanting to rip him to shreds for all he knew, and every small advantage would make a huge difference. He actually wanted to don a few dresses as well to improve his defenses even further, but he was afraid that he'd ruin any chances of finding a patron if he came out looking like a maniac. He looked down at his body a second later, satisfied with the result. Agras had once told him that wealth was one of the greatest weapons, and he was inclined to agree as he looked at the glistening treasures covering his hands and arms. It was like he suddenly had 10 lives, though each item spent was probably the equivalent of losing hundreds of millions of Nexus coins, perhaps even billions. Zack also had enough creation energy in his body for one major restoration, but he didn't want to use it unless absolutely necessary. He finally prepared one of the spikes of Faceless Number 9 in the sleeve of his robes, but he was even leerier about that spike compared to the creation energy. It might be lethal for outsiders to use, and he would only stab himself with that thing if he really didn't see any alternatives. Normally, he would have entered the new floor as a Draugr to defend against surprise attacks, but he unfortunately couldn't do that as he was exiting the tower. Zack wasn't ready to expose his second identity, which meant he would have to defend against any potential assault with treasures and his nature-based defensive skills. Zack took a few deep breaths before he picked the Divine Investiture Array, and the next moment he was teleported to the 73rd level. He crushed his token the moment he arrived, but his danger sense already screamed an alarm. He activated one of the defensive charges of a ring as he created a massive fractal edge that he swung in a grand 360-degree arc. A dozen massive rats were turned into mincemeat, and his whole body was drenched in blood and viscera in an instant. It wasn't exactly how he wanted to look upon exiting the tower, but perhaps it would give off an intimidating impression. A glance at his surroundings showed that he had been thrown into the middle of an endless rat tide that relentlessly tried to swarm him from every direction with furious abandon, and he was forced to fight them off as their teeth seemed to be able to bite straight through the shield he had summoned. Even the leaves of nature's barrier were getting ripped apart and swallowed by the crazed beasts. Thankfully, he only needed to fight for 10 seconds before he was teleported out of the Tower of Eternity, where the Tao apparition awaited. The stone slate floated through the vast cosmos, just as it had since there was only darkness. Ancient lines marred its surface, every single groove and turn containing seemingly boundless profundity. It spoke of the grand tenets of the universe, but very few had the ability to glean any of its secrets, so it continued its solitary journey toward eternity. It silently passed the grand warriors who traversed the stars, and not even ancient existences born from stardust itself could sense its presence. But all journeys must end. A remote and solitary planet shone like a green gem. The steel imperceptibly adjusted its trajectory to head toward it. It breached the atmosphere not long after, and it finally settled down in a secluded valley. The steel settled down gently on the ground, as though it weren't encumbered by gravity in the slightest. However, a simple touch of the slate made the whole world tremble, causing earthquakes and extreme weather to ravage the whole planet for months before subsiding. The primordial stone plaque sat in its valley undisturbed, but the planet slowly changed from the fundamental truths it espoused. War ravaged the continents, and enough blood was spilled that crops refused to grow in the soil. Countries rose and fell like the turn of the seasons, grand warriors becoming kings before turning to dust. One day, a one-armed man found himself in the valley. His army had been utterly defeated in battle, and he needed a safe harbor to hide from his enemies. He hadn't lost through lacking skill or tactics, but through inferior numbers. It filled him with irreconciliation that a fool had defeated him. But there was nothing to do about the situation. Reality wasn't fair. There was something alluring about the valley, though, and the general soon forgot his anger as he scoured its nooks and crannies until he found the ancient steel. He was unable to take his eyes away from the patterns covering the surface, and it felt like they were the most beautiful things in the universe. He sat down in front of it as though he was possessed, his eyes never leaving the stone for a second. The seasons passed as the man pondered upon the steel, silent and unmoving. Months turned to years, and years turned into millennia. Forces emerged and fell soon after. Great triumphs and defeats replaced each other one by one on the continent. However, no one ever visited the secluded valley. No one even spoke about the mountains that shielded it from the surrounding countries. It was as though it was separated from the world, a dimension of its own. It was just a man and a stone, and eons of silence. A storm suddenly erupted in the valley, and the millennia of tranquility ended. The cultivator shuddered as though he was brought out from a dream.
"War,"
he muttered as he got on his feet and looked to the stars. War was the motor of progress, and blood was needed to turn the wheels of fate. He bowed to his master before walking over to take away the monument, as he felt there was still much to learn. But no matter how he strained and pulled, it wouldn't move the slightest. Cracks spread for tens of thousands of meters around him, but the monument refused to be moved. The man sighed in disappointment, but there was no real anger in his eyes. There was just tranquility and the burning fires of conflict. Increasingly powerful waves started to emanate from his body until he suddenly disappeared in a massive explosion. The next moment he stood in space, looking down at the planet below. His home world had once been without end in his mind, a battlefield whose scale beggared comprehension. But now the scene was too small, just a small ripple in the universe not worth mentioning. He needed a grander arena to progress further. The warlord waved his hand, and a moon was ripped from its trajectory and crushed into an unadorned lance of stone and steel. Its materials were nothing special, but space still broke from the slightest movement of its tip. He looked down at the planet, or rather the now ruined valley where he had spent most of his life. If it wasn't meant for him any longer, then it might as well continue its journey toward the next fated one. Being stuck on this small corner was an insult to the grandeur it represented. He swung the lance with one swift motion, and space trembled as a wave of unfettered destruction carved off a section of the planet, sending the continent spinning toward the endless black. The universe needed war, and war needed more than one general. A stone slate floated through the vast cosmos, and it would continue doing so until there was only darkness. Ancient lines marred its surface, almost every single groove and turn containing seemingly boundless profundity. Chapter 50. War.
"He made it to the 72nd level after all," Balios said to his uncle. "He might even make it the whole way."
"He's almost out of time. There was less than a day remaining when he finally managed to pass the 71st level. Even if he defeats the Guardian now, he will be exhausted and most likely wounded,"
Ubrok answered, but there were clear signs of hesitation on his face.
"Still," Balios whispered, "perhaps we should stay out of this? Even Lord Baradin only made it to the 65th level. No matter if he passes or not, he's still someone we shouldn't get involved with. We're just sticking our necks out while the real lords will reap the eventual rewards. The promised payment for assistance is not worth our lives."
"You are right. Let's back away," Ubrok finally relented. "We cannot get involved with the second coming of the Evening Tide Asura. Our force will not be able to withstand the fallout no matter which side stands victorious. Let's back away and enjoy the apparition in peace. I might even be able to improve my Tao seed after all these years."
Balios hurriedly nodded in agreement, and their group of eight started making their way back across the square. They weren't alone in choosing retreat over the quest reward and the private bounties provided by a few scions. The heated competition for the front row seats of the square had quickly died down, as Zack Piker had knocked down one level after another, eclipsing all the sector's geniuses for the past hundreds of thousands of years. Things had calmed down as Mr. Piker, or rather Lord Piker, found himself stuck on the 71st level for almost a week. But the moment he'd reached the final level of the 8th floor, people started to worry. Some had already backed away, and there were not many willing to take the place of the deserters. A million years had passed, but the lessons that the Evening Tide Asura engraved into the souls of the people of the Zekia sector were still vividly remembered. Opening yourself and your family up to that level of vengeance was not worth the potential prize or remuneration. However, the group only managed to retreat 100 meters before a commotion broke out across the square.
73!
A cultivator screamed with shock, causing some panic to finally appear even in the eyes of the staunchest of warriors. A few still remained, clearly intent on betting it all, but most people started running for their lives. However, the fleeing cultivators stopped just a few seconds later, because the tower started releasing an immense pressure as waves of power radiated across the whole town, far beyond what anyone had ever seen before. Greed fought with fear, but the allure was too great. Witnessing a ninth-floor apparition from a front-row seat was too enticing to give up, and the whole square sat down on the ground as if they were of one mind. Balios froze in hesitation, unsure whether he should flee further or join the others. The hesitation only lasted for a fraction of a second as he hurriedly took out his prepared mat as he gazed up at the sky. The pressure emitted from the tower kept accumulating, and fewer managed to hold their backs straight. A few even started bleeding from their ears from the immense aura of the Tower of Eternity. It was as though the heavens themselves had descended upon the base town, standing in judgment. But the pressure was suddenly gone, and Belios's eyes widened in shock as the tower flickered before it suddenly disappeared as well. Taking its place was a stone plaque whose size was a match to the Tower of Eternity. Balios's eyes were drawn toward the mysterious scars covering its surface, and his mind turned blank the next moment. It was only some time later he woke up from his trance, but he was shocked to realize he couldn't remember a thing, not even how much time had passed. But something had changed inside his body, and it felt like his blood had been replaced by fire. The drums of war echoed in his mind, and his arms bulged as he subconsciously dragged out Skylark, his azure-blue Azrathir spirit tool. The sword hummed in response, seemingly influenced by the odd state of its master. The teleportation array lit up, and the whole square collectively held their breath as the man they had been waiting for the past day reappeared. However, this was not a hero's exit, but rather that of a beggar. The man's aura seemed strong and stable, but he was completely covered in still wet blood. He was also decked out in odd jewelry that made him look like a robber who had absconded with a maiden's jewelry box. His rough state wasn't surprising, as he had passed to the 73rd level at the last possible moment. He was probably putting up a brave front, and he quickly sat down and closed his eyes, enjoying the protection of the array. Zack Piker had overtaxed himself, forgetting that there was another trial waiting for him outside. Balios's eyes were slowly turning bloodshot, and a wordless agreement passed between him and his uncle. The group no longer had any interest in retreating, but instead slowly made their way back toward their position.
"The quest! It changed!" another man suddenly shouted.
The flames of war were already drowning out most of Balios's thoughts, but curiosity overcame bloodthirst, and he slowly looked away from the blood-drenched man to instead check out the changes of the quest.
"Fatebreaker. Unique. Limited. Kill Zack Piker within the time limit. Reward. 10 free levels in the Tower of Eternity. 1 minute."
Balios's eyes threatened to pop out of their sockets as he read the reward. What was going on? If the previous reward had been unprecedented, then the current one was beyond comprehension. Had Lord Piker spent his whole climb cursing the heavens, and this was his retribution? The whole square was like a kettle that threatened to boil over at any second, and Balios's eyes were locked on the humanoid treasure trove. A few minutes passed, and Balios almost lashed out at his neighbors in a bloodthirsty rage, his muscles shuddering as he tried to keep his impulses in check. But finally, the man stood up and turned toward the square.
"I,"
Lord Piker said, but he stopped when the protective array suddenly winked out like it just ran out of power. Everyone gaped in incomprehension for a second, but chaos took hold of the square the next moment. Zack appeared on the teleportation array, and he breathed out in relief when he saw that the defensive array was still up and running. He needed to quickly consolidate his gains, so he sat down on the ground after nodding at Agras and Galau, who were mutely staring at him with eyes as wide as saucers. He was relieved to see that all the defensive treasures he had equipped before exiting were still there, as was the valuable spatial ring that had belonged to the mentalist. He was pretty certain at this point that all the loot he had snatched from other climbers was still in his possession, though the same probably didn't hold true for the other valuables he'd picked up during the climb. The other two didn't say a word as Zack closed his eyes, and he could understand their stunned expressions. Not even he had really expected to pass the seventh floor, let alone the eighth. But all that could wait until later, as he needed to focus on the vision he had just witnessed. It felt as though he had sat right next to that man for tens of thousands of years, appreciating the stone steel and its mysteries. Just looking at it had filled him with a desire for conquest, a bit like when he used Hatchet Man's rage. The runes spoke of the survival of the fittest, about the need for conflict. Through battle, the weaker sides would get cleansed, or weakness leaving the hive, as the Jix would call it. The strong would get stronger, and the universe would benefit as a whole. It was evolution, continuous betterment by discarding what didn't perform. Zack wasn't sure what concept the rune represented, but he felt that it was either a Tao of conflict or a Tao of war. The man in the vision had leaned toward the latter, but he had also been colored by his past experiences as a general. The man had only grasped a snippet of the truths the steel contained, but that part alone had turned him into a terrifying powerhouse that made him break through multiple grades without any other assistance. The main takeaway for Zack was the connection between war and creation. War always had a purpose. It might be held to protect your beliefs or to punish evil. War might erupt over resources or to take out a hated enemy. It might just simply be the pursuit of strength. Purpose and conviction were what separated a warrior and a beast or a madman. This meant that the concept engraved upon the steel wasn't based on oblivion, as it was not mindless destruction. It was creation through destruction, where you built your future through conflict. It felt like one of the most fundamental fusions of the two peak concepts after looking at the ancient runes. But the Tao fragment it resonated with most was his fragment of the axe. Perhaps all weapon-related Taos were children of the Tao of war. A swing empowered by your conviction would move faster and hit harder than an empty attack. As long as he fought for what he believed in, he would be able to push himself much further than if he fought with hesitation or reluctance in his heart. He had combined many aspects of heaviness and sharpness into the fragment of the axe, such as sharpness through speed and heaviness from momentum. But he now added the reason for swinging his axe into his Tao. Energy surged around him as he felt his insight coalesce, and his body was flush with power in an instant. He opened his eyes and activated his Tao screen to see the result, and he was extremely satisfied with what he saw. Fragment of the axe, middle, all attributes, +20, strength, +225, dexterity, +120, endurance, +15, wisdom, +50, effectiveness of strength, +10%. It was a massive boost, though Zack looked at the additional all attributes with mixed emotions. He had hoped to maintain his massive lead in luck against general cultivators, but it looked like deep insights into the Tao would be able to bridge some of the gap. Of course, he would still maintain a commanding lead thanks to his large number of titles that improved upon his base luck. Perhaps he shouldn't be too surprised about the increased luck stemming from a deeper understanding of the Tao. Gaining Tao seeds and Tao fragments was just forming a stronger connection with the heavens, which in turn should improve one's fate. The evolution of his fragment of the axe wasn't the only thing that he had gained from the vision. The stone steel had almost been all-encompassing, and he felt like he had created a foundation for improving both his other fragments as well. Both the fragment of the coffin and the fragment of the Bodhi were at the lowest possible level until now. But Zack now had something to build upon when he came back. Taking the first step forward toward an upgrade had always been the hardest for him, but upgrading the two fragments was only a matter of time now. It wasn't to the point that he felt 1 week of meditation would do the trick, but he still believed that he would be able to take the next step within a few months, even if he didn't enter any life-and-death battles. Unfortunately, he couldn't revel in his latest gains at the moment, as there were some pressing issues to deal with.
"Are you okay?" Agras asked with a hoarse voice as Zack stood up,
and Zack noted a slightly manic look in the eyes behind the mask he wore to cover his features.
"Not my blood," Zack shrugged. "I'm in perfect condition. I killed the Guardian over 12 hours ago. What's going on?"
"People started to leave, but then the apparition appeared and the quest changed. We're in deep shit," Agras growled.
"It changed?" Zack exclaimed with shock. "I'll deal with this. Stay behind me if I can't convince them to back away. I'll activate a defensive treasure I found."
He turned toward the square, and he immediately understood what Agras meant. The field in front of the tower was only half filled with cultivators from all sorts of races, but people were rushing toward the center square from every direction. Zack said with a carrying voice, but he was cut short as the shield in front of him suddenly disappeared. His mind blanked out as he found himself exposed to a whole army waiting to kill him. He had hoped to work out a diplomatic resolution, but he realized that was a fool's dream as a collective roar spread across the square. His eyes widened in alarm, and his danger sense was already going off the charts. The spectral forest of Hatchet Man's spirit appeared in an instant, and nature's barrier followed right after. He infused the fragment of the Bodhi into the leaves without hesitation and spread it to cover his two companions as well. The two of them backed away as far as they possibly could, each of them erecting a few layers of defenses of their own. He didn't understand what was going on. It felt like he and the system had struck an accord earlier, and it had even gone so far as to help him out by directly speaking to him. But then it followed up with dialing up the bounty on his head to the point that it made these people froth at the mouth. Was the system unhappy with his choice?
Chapter 51. Man versus World. Over 100 attacks, teeming with power, soared toward him, and the whole sky was shrouded by the multifarious display. Zack's fractal leaves condensed to cover a smaller area to create more layers of defense, but the defenses were quickly ripped to shreds by the onslaught. Zack was far stronger than anyone here, but the attackers weren't weaklings by any means. This was a low-grade sector, but everyone present was still the strongest of a generation, all intent on taking him out. There was only so much nature's barrier could block before the leaves were exhausted, and he knew that he couldn't just sit around like a target dummy. Verun's bite keened with delight, as Zack's arm was almost turning into a blur. One fractal blade after another, radiating terrifying energy, ripped into the storm of attacks, crushing most of them without even needing to clash. The extreme power that radiated from the middle-stage Tao fragment was enough to utterly dominate the weaker strikes, and they were ripped into swirls of cosmic energy. However, if each of his fractal blades was like a powerful elephant, then the weaker attacks were like a sea of rabid hyenas that slowly managed to whittle them down. There were just too many attackers, and he felt his waves of fractal edges slowly getting pushed back as more and more cultivators joined the fight. It was a bit disappointing not to be able to utterly crush his enemies with sheer might, but it was still a massive show of force that he could almost create a stalemate when exchanging blows with hundreds of the top geniuses of the sector. He also knew that it was a testament to just how powerful a mid-grade Tao fragment was. His weapon was just average if you discounted the uncommonly high spirituality of the tool spirit, and chop was as basic a skill as they came.
However, each blade still managed to crush a dozen beautiful and intricate skills that sailed toward him before they ran out of steam. Of course, if he didn't do something soon, he might get himself or his two companions hurt. However, Zack was prepared for exactly this kind of worst-case scenario, and cosmic energy streamed toward his neck. Mysterious fluctuations spread out from his position the next second as a massive eye emerged out of the void. It was one of the treasures he had taken from the mentalist's spatial ring, a necklace with an eye that actually seemed alive. The conjured eye didn't move, but it rather just stared at the sea of cultivators and incoming attacks. A mystic ray of blue light spread out, and the attacks cracked in an instant, leaving not a single one intact. Dozens of warriors fell back with blood pouring from their eyes, their souls definitely hurt by the clash. It caused a lull in the battle, and Zack figured this was his last chance to stop the madness before it got out of hand.
"Stop now, and I won't cause any trouble for you or your clans," Zack roared at the top of his lungs. "But I will kill everyone who stays behind, no matter heritage or affiliation. This is your only warning."
His voice was filled with power, and the air shuddered around him as his blood-drenched aura was unleashed to its fullest. He hoped to wake these people up from their greed-fueled battle fervor. However, the effect of his words and his aura was far worse than he anticipated, and not a single one seemed willing to back down. It was like they had eaten stimulants or some sort of berserking pill. A few had been killed or incapacitated by the massive eye, but new warriors filled the ranks, and Zack could see that the streets were filling up with people who wanted to join the chaos. Just defending wouldn't cut it, and he needed to go with Agros's idea. Kill a few chickens to scare the monkeys, as the demon called it. Another defensive treasure cracked on his hand, causing a shimmering fractal made from churning waters to appear in the air. Torrential typhoons shot toward the cultivators and swallowed up even more attacks, but a few still slipped through and slammed into his newly formed leaves. The storms weren't as effective as the mysterious eye in pushing back the attackers, but it gave Zack enough time to charge up deforestation. Zack was going all out from the start. If the first swing wouldn't convince them to back off, then there was a tsunami of flames waiting. If people still hadn't managed to curb their greed, he would release the Axe of Desolation and end the battle altogether. The massive woodcutter's axe materialized above him, and Zack immediately initiated the Axe of Felling. You could say that he had started this battle with this very attack just before he was forced to flee into the tower, and he would end it the same way.
"Stop its activation!"
a shout echoed out across the square, and Zack was suddenly covered in uncomfortable energy that made the cosmic energy in his body feel slow and listless. He quickly activated the first defensive charge of Hatchet Man's spirit, but his eyes widened when the attack passed right through the emerald shield and drilled into his chest.
"It's a curse, a rare type of mental attack,"
Gilau screamed from behind.
"You can't break it by force or treasures. Look inward."
Zack's eyes lit up, and he looked inside, allowing him to spot crude runes covering the skill fractal for deforestation. He rotated a storm of cosmic energy to slam into it, and three forceful pushes cracked it wide open. It caused light internal bleeding as well, but it wasn't a big deal for someone like Zack. However, that was just the first of dozens of attempts to tie down the massive axe in the sky. It was covered in 10 layers of restrictive arrays as well, and no matter how hard Zack struggled, he wasn't able to move his arm forward. It was a type of counter to his attacks he had never seen before, and he couldn't figure out any quick fix to launch the skill. His axe was already tied up in the swing, making it impossible to send out any fractal attacks to destroy the restrictions. Nature's punishment was liable to destroy the axe as well, not that Zack was able to unleash both the attacks at the same time. Agra seemed to have understood the issue, as a beam of darkness slammed into the restrictions from behind. But only the outermost of the many layers of restrictions were broken.
"Don't worry," Zack said as he looked back. "I'll deal with this."
He felt thankful that the demon was willing to stick his neck out in a messy situation like this, but Agras was honestly more of a liability than an asset at this moment, unless he had completely transformed during the time since they'd parted ways in the tower. He could only activate yet another of the one-time treasures, and he felt a large chunk of cosmic energy leave his body as 1,000 golden swords shot toward the restrictions around the Axe of Felling. The restrictions were ripped to pieces before the swords continued toward the mob and caused widespread carnage as the summoned weapons slipped straight past hastily erected shields and into their bodies. However, the Axe of Felling was already dissipating, and Zack had lost his connection to the fractal axe. Nothing happened as Zack swung Varun's bite over and over until the massive woodcutter's axe dissipated. Zack growled with annoyance and tried to resummon the axe, but he was shocked to find that the skill wouldn't activate. It seemed that deforestation had been put on its cooldown since the first swing had technically been initiated. Zack didn't even know that an outcome like this was possible, and he scrambled for new ideas to deal with the mob in their next salvo of attacks. Zack activated another one of the treasures, an offensively geared ring that released an invisible force that made the whole square twist and bend. Dozens fell to their knees, screaming, their eyes and ears bleeding as they clutched their heads. It looked like the mentalist had been in possession of multiple mental attack treasures in addition to her terrifying skills. The attack gave Zack a short breather, and he turned toward his two companions, who were still hiding in the back.
"How do I defend against more curses?" Zack asked.
Galau only hesitated for a short moment before he took out a small doll and threw it over to Zack.
"Pour some energy into this. It will take your place, but curses are very hard to plant when the target is anticipating it,"
the merchant hurriedly said as his eyes darted back and forth in search of any lurking threat.
"You can also guard your fractals with your dows if they try it again."
Zack nodded in thanks before he turned back toward the enemies. Losing deforestation to such a trick was a huge blow, but he wasn't out of options just yet. Cosmic energy surged into his hand instead, and the sky above him cracked. He also activated Hatchetman's rage for good measure, as he was confident that the splinter was in no condition to cause any trouble at the moment. The leaves surrounding him suddenly lost the beautiful fractals covering their surface as the wooden hand emerged from its separate dimension. Zack needed to make this one count, so he chose to infuse the attack with the fragment of the Bodhi rather than his defensive canopy. However, the wooden hand barely had time to move more than 10 meters before it was almost blasted to pieces by 3 beams of light that converged right at its position. Zack endured the pain in his own hand and looked around, realizing that 3 attackers were holding identical mirrors covered in fractals. It was no doubt an array, and if there was one, there were bound to be more arrays waiting to be activated. A shockwave spread out from his original position as he flashed forward, 2 massive avatars appearing in an instant as a bracer on each of his arms cracked. One formed a vast cloud of darkness that covered the sky. Everything that entered it disappeared, including the beams of light. The other was a kneeling warrior without features, and he enclosed Agras and Galau in a protective embrace. The second treasure was activated to prevent the attackers from taking his 2 companions hostage, in case he needed to enter a melee with the mob, whereas the first one would let him complete his skill. The vast clouds allowed the hand to move forward, shrouded in darkness, and it quietly managed to erect its emerald array above the chaotic army. However, its activation was by no means uncontested, as over 20 avatars and powerful attacks rose to meet it. The combined power of the dozen elite warriors was barely able to hold back the descent of the punishment, and Zack found it difficult to make any headway. Zack was considering whether he should try to cause some chaos by jumping into the fray, or perhaps weaken their coordination with another treasure. Finally, he also decided to make a move himself. It would put Agras and Galau at some risk, but he felt he needed his hands to get a bit bloodied if he wanted to end this thing. Perhaps the mob thought he kept using treasures because he wasn't actually that strong, which emboldened them to keep going. It would put him in harm's way of his own punishment, but he was durable enough to withstand some friendly fire. He was just about to flash forward with Loamwalker when a group of cultivators suddenly appeared out of nowhere at the front of the army. Most of them radiated a powerful aura that could almost match the weaker warriors in the Battle of Fates, and Zack knew that the true elites of the sector had made their move. Zack wasn't worried in the slightest. Rather the opposite. He believed if he managed to take out these people, then any cohesion in the army would crumble, and he would only need to defend against some weaklings for another minute to make it out alive. Zack directly charged at the quintet, but he didn't have time to move before each of them produced a different treasure in their hands.
Four gates!
One of the men shouted, and one massive doorway appeared in each direction around Zack. The doors cracked open, and four densely inscribed hands emerged, each one forming a different seal. Zack noticed there was a group of warriors behind the man who had created a war array to support the summoning, but he didn't have a chance to even attack before he was beset by a series of hallucinations. Not only that, it felt like the world was twisted and inverted. He saw that his hand moved when he tried to walk, and the world was suddenly upside down. It was like all his wires had been crossed, and just making the smallest movement needed great focus. Eating one of the mental pills and cracking another defensive treasure did alleviate the symptoms somewhat, but it was still a struggle to understand what was going on around him. Zack knew he would have been able to improve the situation by infusing Mental Fortress with the fragment of the Bodhi rather than the fragment of the coffin, but the still-struggling nature's punishment would be destroyed if it lost its Tao empowerment. He really needed to take out these five new arrivals. He arduously split his attention from the wooden hand to shoot out a series of fractal blades toward the group.
Six directions!
A second cultivator shouted with a shaky voice as Zack launched his attacks, and six elongated fractals formed a circle in the sky. Zack growled in annoyance when he saw that he had been trapped by a shield that blocked his strikes, with only the smallest of cracks forming, and he realized that it might be even sturdier than the cage he created with profane seal. But these people would soon understand he wasn't someone they could trap so easily. Chapter 52. Restrained. Zack realized that breaking through the thick shield would be difficult from the outside, but the wooden hand was already presiding above the army outside the shield. He needed to create an opportunity to let the punishment descend, which would hopefully ruin the array as well. He had a few options, but he ultimately chose to utilize one of the rings on his finger, which was part of his rapidly diminishing stock of offensive treasures from the Mentalist. He hoped that the mental attack would be able to breach the Six Directions shield, as it seemed physical in nature. It was unlikely they had prepared mental defenses after his display upon entering the tower, after all. The ring on his finger cracked, and Zack breathed out in relief when he saw the almost imperceptible wave slip through minute cracks between the six fractals and descend on the army. Another burst of cosmic energy entered Zack's body as several cultivators instantly got their souls crushed, and many of the skills blocking nature's punishment failed as warriors were forced to withstand a massive trauma to their souls. It seemed as though the group of five in the front were protected by some unknown means, and they didn't even flinch as the wave passed them by.
The offensive treasure had fulfilled its purpose as the avatars that blocked nature's punishment lost their vigor in an instant, and a massive branch finally managed to emerge from the emerald fractal in the sky. Chaotic storms of cosmic energy caused massive waves in the sky as warriors threw out defensive treasures and all sorts of talismans as a last-ditch effort. But everything was pushed aside or crushed as the massive branch descended. Only at the last moment was the wooden punishment stopped by a prismatic shield that reminded Zack of a soap bubble. Zack kept infusing the skill with more and more power, and he felt like he was just missing a little bit to break the last line of defenses. One cultivator after another fell beneath the shield as they were overtaxed by the pressure, but the replacements were seemingly endless. Zack suddenly had an idea, and he took out an impressive-looking talisman from his spatial ring and threw it toward the army with a roar. The eyes of quite a few warriors widened in alarm, and they quickly refocused their efforts to defend their minds from yet another concussive wave. The army had already been beset by two peak-grade soul-harming arrays, and many were probably hanging on by a thread. However, no mental attack emerged as the talisman cracked in front of the prismatic shield. Instead, a weak shield sprang up and covered a patch of dirt. The prismatic shield burst apart the next moment, and the wooden fingers headed right toward the army with world-ending force. The branch slammed into the large square cobblestones of the square like the fingers of an angry god, and the whole area shook and heaved as Zack was inundated in a massive amount of cosmic energy. At least 50 people had died from the initial attack, and even more sported grisly wounds from the shockwave. However, the attack wasn't over just yet. Hundreds of sharp branches grew out of the tree and stabbed everything in its surroundings, causing another wave of carnage. It was just like when the spectral chains of profane seal targeted the living inside its cage, and desolate cries echoed across the core area of Basetown as one cultivator after another was impaled. Only then did the emerald array in the air dissipate, while Zack lost his mental connection to the tree. It remained in the square, though, its branches filled with the unmoving bodies of dozens of fallen warriors. It had turned into a twisted monument drenched in the blood of the elites of the sector, and hopefully it would serve as a reminder to choose life over wealth for anyone who had any ideas about Zack. Unfortunately, it seemed as though the group maintaining the two powerful arrays around him had come prepared, and another shield protected them from the fallout from nature's punishment as they prepared their next moves. It was becoming increasingly apparent that this group of five was the largest threat, unless there were even stronger people lying in wait in one of the palaces that lined the square.
"Heaven's punishment!
Hell suppression!"
Two more cultivators shouted in unison as Zack scrambled for a way to break the stalemate, leaving only the young man in the middle of the group of five unoccupied. A vast array in an unblemished white appeared in the sky, and it felt like his body was slowly being ground to dust just by being covered in its light. Zack wanted to get out of the way, but a pitch-black array suddenly covered the ground he stood on, and he helplessly fell down onto the cobblestones from an immense pressure. Zack's whole body was immobilized by an almost unbearable weight, and the whole square around him cracked, even though it was made from some mysterious material that hadn't even scarred until he brought out nature's punishment. The four arrays were no doubt at the absolute peak of what could be brought to the base town, and they had even formed a system to create an even stronger effect. Just moving his arms was a struggle, and Zack started to worry for the first time as he saw the leader of the group prepare what would no doubt be the finale. He considered activating another defensive treasure preemptively, but he quickly decided against it. He was running low on cosmic energy by this point, and each activation took a good chunk of his reserves. He'd only activate another talisman if he saw a lethal attack coming. He was also out of offensive treasures,
leaving him unable to deal with any of the four arrays restricting him. He was almost out of options, and he knew he would have to pay a price to deal with this situation. However, he was unwilling to keep his head bowed down to some warriors relying on superior numbers. He remembered the feelings of irreconciliation of the general in his vision, the frustration of being bested not by skills or hard work, but by being overwhelmed by sheer numbers. He would have done well to remember that general's painful lesson, but he had walked into this fight with a feeling of superiority, that numbers were irrelevant to his superior might. But he had been met with ingenious tactics and boundless ferocity, proving that not even someone who had stood shoulder to shoulder with the elites of the multiverse was safe. Death could come at any time, from the most unlikely of perpetrators. Veins wiggled beneath his skin across his body as he forced himself back on his knees. The pressure was terrifying, but he was slowly adapting to it with the help of his insights into the Tao of Heaviness. Thin layers of skin were peeling off from his face and arms before rising toward the array above like he was spontaneously falling apart, but he ignored the pain as his wild eyes were trained at the group of warriors. The whole shield shuddered as Zack flashed forward and cut into it with Varun's bite, the weapon radiating sanguine light that painted the group red. The woman controlling the array paled from the backlash, forced to take a step back. It did hold against his assault, but Zack was just getting started. Power and rage coursed through his veins as he slammed one time after another, each strike containing enough force to split mountains. His whole body creaked and groaned from the pressure, and wounds were opening up from just moving about, but he kept swinging his axe with relentless ferocity. The woman controlling the Six Directions array was empowered by a retinue running a war array, but the supportive cultivators fell down with bleeding orifices as they were being overtaxed. Cracks started spreading across the shimmering wall, and just a bit would be enough to break through and reach these people. As long as he got into melee range, things would be over, as no one here was his match in such close proximity. Zack's eyes were filled with blood from the immense pressure from the combination of the suppressive array and Hatchet Man's rage, but the leader of the five looked into his eyes with equanimity as he took out a large box and pointed it toward Zack. Zack's danger sense screamed for him to move, but he first sent a mental command into his axe. A swirl of mysterious energies slipped through the cracks Zack had caused in the shield, and the primordial beast appeared in all its glory a second later. Zack wasn't the only one who had undergone a drastic change during the climb. Varun had received its own share of opportunities. The beast was actually a bit smaller compared to before, but it was more condensed, more corporeal. It was still 5 meters long and reached almost 3 meters into the air, making it a massive beast compared to anything that had lived on Earth, at least. Its huge maw with its gnarly fangs looked the same as before, but the number of eyes had actually increased on its head. It now had 2 sets of eyes, all 4 of them seemingly moving independently of each other as they looked for targets. Swirls of blood also slowly rotated around its paws, and Zack sensed a hint of the dragon's primordial aura from the tool spirit. It released an earth-shattering roar after having finally been allowed to make an appearance, and it ferociously pounced on the cultivators in the square. Zack had initially wanted to force his way out of the shield, but he knew enough to listen to his danger sense, so he jumped back to avoid whatever the leader had planned. He didn't know what was inside that box, but it felt extremely dangerous, even to him. Being forced to back off at this critical juncture was a disappointment, but the shield was seriously weakened, and its controller seemed to be running out of steam. Varun was also causing mass panic among the cultivators outside, and together with the mass casualties from nature's punishment, he pretty much only had the 5 elites and their retinues to worry about. And he still had something that could easily turn the tide. Zack was still a bit hesitant, though, as he took out the rusty sword from his spatial ring. However, he had witnessed the power of the sinister weapon himself during the Battle of Fates. That swordsman had been able to utterly destroy nature's punishment with the help of this cursed weapon. And if Zack hadn't deactivated his skill in time, he might even have lost his hand. It was his best option to end things in one go, especially now that the rabble had been mostly routed with the help of the massive tree's descent. Besides, he didn't want to waste any more of the mentalist's jewelry. He would have wasted too many treasures before even returning to Earth if he continued like this, and those things might be crucial in the upcoming fights against the Dominators and the Undead Empire. Zack gripped the dried-out leather of the hilt, and his wounds opened all over his arm as he forcibly started dragging it out of its scabbard. Blood fell on the ground like rain, and Zack roared into the sky as a storm of voices entered his mind. Odd veins started traveling up his arm from his sword as well, like the weapon was trying to fuse with his body. Even the exhausted remnants shuddered from the intrusion into his mind, but they weren't in any condition to affect the course of events. Zack suppressed the voices with everything he had as he strained to finish the attack quicker. It almost felt like he was trying to complete the third swing of deforestation by unsheathing the blade, and a huge chunk of his remaining cosmic energy was swallowed by the sword in an instant. But Zack didn't care, as he felt that a horrible power was brewing within the sword, and his arm bulged as he finally managed to drag out the reluctant weapon before the veins could spread above his elbow. A piercing wail echoed across the square, and Zack's vision doubled from the mental shock, but he still swung the weapon in a wide arc toward the cultivators running the arrays. He wasn't sure whether there was a trick to using the weapon, so he tried to mimic the form of the swordsman as best he could remember. The familiar white half-moon thankfully appeared, but it was covered in the same red pulsating veins as those snaking up along his arm. The strike had felt like a pure sword strike when the lanky swordsman used the weapon back on the 7th floor, but now it really felt like something an unorthodox cultivator would use. It hadn't weakened the power of the strike, but rather the opposite. Zack moved his mental energy and started infusing the blade with the fragment of the axe for good measure. Zack got a rabid pushback from the weapon, but Zack growled and crammed it in, no matter what the crazy voices were screaming. The blade shuddered, and a few cracks appeared, but it quickly mended and continued to expand as it picked up more and more speed as it rushed toward the shield, now empowered with Zack's most destructive